I've been doing this series called You Were Made for Something More. You know, this little picture that I found, without Jesus, we're rejected by God. Without Jesus, we're rejected by God. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are fully accepted and have unlimited access to God. You don't have to come into this room, although we'd love for you to be here in this room where we can have access to God, where we sing to Him, where we pray to Him, where we lift up our needs to Him and our praises and our needs and our joys and our concerns and all those things. But you can do that wherever you are. Wherever you're going, you can have God in your heart with you. In Galatians chapter 4, in this message today is called Your Royalty. These series of message, I just want to pour in you how blessed we are to know Him. How important it is to serve Him and love Him and get ready and be prepared for the works that He has for us. But you're valued by your Heavenly Father. You might be here and sitting here today and you don't know God. That's all right. Bring as many people here as you can that don't know God, because we want to do everything we can to share God with Him. The other day, this last week, they're playing all these Christmas movies on Hallmark, man. It's getting out of control. I think in my dream last night, there was a snowstorm. I don't know if that's a prophecy of something to come this winter. I don't know. But it's been all about Christmas. But praise God, I'm laying in bed the other night and I'm thinking about this. These are all different religions, both sides, all different kinds of religions, given man's way to get to God and stuff. And here, I thought about these seven verses in Galatians. We can get rid of all this stuff in seven verses. Let's look at them together, Galatians 4, because Paul, he has this message in these seven verses. It's a radical message. I really feel like it's radical when it comes to all these cults and different religions and stuff. But that acceptance with God comes by faith. Faith alone, by what Christ did on the cross. Here's the seven verses for today. You see the subtitle in ESV version, Sons and Heirs. He says, verse 1, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is an owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. That's a picture of what it was like. If you can go back before God got a hold of your heart, before you asked Him to forgive you of your sins and He became the Lord of your life, that's where you were. That's where I was. We were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time has come, Paul said, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, Paul says, God has sent the Spirit, capital S, of His Son, capital S, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When I count to three, I want everybody to say, Abba, Father. 1, 2, 3. Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are heir to God. Isn't that beautiful? So through those seven verses, I found four benefits or four things that happen to you when Jesus gets a hold of your heart and you become one of His children. One is, we have a new position. We have a new position. Because in those verses, Paul described who came, God's Son. He described when He came, at the appointed time. Think about it. It described how He came, born of a woman, that is in human form, and why He came. Here's all the answers to your questions. Why? Right there, to redeem those under the law. John Stott, one of my favorite authors, favorite pastors, preachers, he explained it this way. If He had not been man, He could not have redeemed men. If He had not been a righteous man, He could not have redeemed righteous men. And if He had not been God's Son, think about it, He could not have redeemed men for God or made them the sons of God. And you think about that word redeem, it's like a picturesque word. It means to be set free by paying a price. That's what redeem means. In Jesus' day, slavery was rampant. And owners purchased people as their possession. But occasionally, an owner will set an enslaved person free. And I tell you that because that's why Jesus came, to set spiritually enslaved people free. Therefore, we have a new position. We are no longer slaves, which they most graciously sang today. Think about that. Jesus did not purchase us to make us a slave, but to grant us positions as sons. He adopted us. We have a new relationship with God. This past Wednesday, we got to celebrate the Lebeling family, how they adopted those two twin girls that have been running around this church for 2 years. It was beautiful. It was beautiful, and they adopted them. And that's what Jesus, that's a symbol of Jesus adopting us. And that's why I'm trying to get you through these verses. Here's a good analogy I read. An abandoned and homeless teenager involved with the wrong crowd, anybody know anybody like that, was arrested for shoplifting and brought before a judge. Looking down on him, the judge pronounced a huge fine which the boy could never pay. But then the judge paused. He stepped down and stood beside the kid, and he said, "I'll pay your debt," he said. And that's really an example of redemption. But the illustration really doesn't go far enough to, as it relates to God with us as believers, for it to communicate what God did for us. The following must occur, and I put this in your listening guide, because the judge must say, not only will I pay your debt, this is what Jesus is saying to us, but I will take you home. I want to adopt you as my son. I want to be your father. I want to invite you to my family and give you a future. In the years that I was a youth pastor, there was more than one occasion, and I'm kind of leaving the message now, Joe, but just something that came into my head the other night. I had many moms call me up, or many dads call me up, that their children were part of the youth ministry at Christian Fellowship Church in Ashburn, and their parents recently divorced. Or in one case, the dad died, you know, but they wanted me to talk to their child because they were struggling about the separation. You know, a couple families, the dad left, a couple families, the mom left, and they would want me to minister to that teenager. And they would come into my office, and I would pray for them, and I'd say, "I don't understand why your parents are split up," but I always brought them to this scripture, because I think this scripture says it all. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And write this down and use it when you come across people that are struggling, that, you know, might not have parents bringing them up. He said, "I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God." This is what you can promise them. "And they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from among their midst and be separate from them," says the Lord. And he's really talking about people, you know, caught in idolatry and not following God. He says, "Be separate from them," says the Lord, "and touch no unclean thing, and then I will welcome you. I will be a father to you." Isn't that beautiful? That's Paul just reaching out to, Jesus just texted me, but "it would be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." And that's what I wanted to pour into teenagers. You got a father that loves you. He loved you so much, and he sent his son to die on the cross, and he'll be your father for you. He says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me," says the Lord God Almighty. In Jeremiah 29, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And then this is what we're called to do. If you want to know those plans that God has for you, because he has a plan for every one of us. Every day he has a purpose for us, a plan for us, and he has people coming alongside of us at our jobs or in the neighborhood or at Walmart or in the parking lot or whatever, to make a difference. And he has those plans, but then he gives us what we need to do as believers. And it's in verse 12. "Then you will call upon me." Just like they did today in worship. They were calling upon him. And they were coming and pray to me, and I will hear you. It's a promise from God's word. when you're going through a tough time, maybe you lost a child or maybe a neighbor or maybe a spouse or whatever, but come and pray to me and I will hear you. That's a promise from His Word. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with some of your heart. And you know that's not a true statement. Seek Him with all His heart. Because God has accomplished this reality for us by sending His Son, Jesus, to redeem us. And I put this in your listening guide. I'm just trying to explain to you what more can I say about redemption. It's more than having something taken away. Like your sins are forgiven, praise God. Or having something added, a new nature. With the assistance of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes and makes His home inside of us. But it's becoming someone we have never been before. Those of you that have known the Lord for a long time, think back when you didn't know Him. And think of what happened to your life since you have become a child of God. So redemption is really not what we have, but it's really who we are. It's really who we are. We're sons. We've been adopted, but there's more. When God adopted us into His family, we were elevated to a position of sonship. Think about it. The New Testament word adoption means to place us as an adult son. It indicates our standing in the family of God. When I came into a relationship with Christ, I became an adult son, not a little child. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, I used to think like a child and act like a child and talk like a child. But now when I become a God, I become a new creation. And so here we are, we're male and female, and I'm not trying to be sexist or politically incorrect by saying we are sons, but in the Jewish tradition, all the wealth and the rights of the father were passed down to the sons. And until that child reached that certain age, he was no longer better than a slave. And Paul wrote in that verse 1, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is an owner of everything. So when we come to Christ, we are elevated to this position of being like an adult son. And we come to Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. As far as our condition is concerned, we're spiritual babies who need to grow. But as far as our position is concerned, we are adult sons. That's what Paul's trying to get through this to the Galatians. And we can draw from the Father's wealth and exercise all those incredible privileges of sonship. So we become an adult children. We don't have to wait to receive our inheritance. So one, we have a new position. Two, we have a new relationship. Three, we have a new assurance. In verse 6 it says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When we come to Christ, God sends His Holy Spirit into our hearts to give us new life and assurance that we're God's children. And that still small voice of God speaks to our soul and whispers to us, you are now the child of God. That same Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. The word Abba is really an Aramaic word that little children would use to speak to their fathers. It's an intimate, personal term of enduring affection. In English, you might say dad or daddy or papa or dear father. It's a very tender way of talking to our Heavenly Father. No longer is He some distant God up in the sky where all these people are trying to reach them through works. You know, and that's the difference about being a Christian. We know Jesus is Savior. God is now our Heavenly Father, and we can come to Him in prayer anytime, anywhere. For any reason, He will never turn us away. When we're in trouble or maybe the world has turned against us, we're discouraged and we feel like giving up. Or we're confused about what to do next in our walk with God. But the Holy Spirit whispers to us, talk to your Father in heaven. He's waiting to hear from you. And then the Spirit within us brings us back to our Father again and again and teaches us to say, Abba, Father. One of the great privileges of a sonship is that we can approach our Heavenly Father like a little child, confident of His love, eager to crawl into refuge of His strong arms. And as Christians, and as you walk in your Christian walk, and as you grow in your Christian faith, you got to start asking that question, how do I do that? How do I get closer to Him? How can I be in an intimate relationship with Him? And you go along and the Lord will show you and the Holy Spirit will show you. Last point, we have a new future. We have a new future. You're no longer a slave, verse 7 says, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So we were slaves, but now we're sons. And since we're sons, we're also heirs to all God has for us. An heir is a person who by law is a member of a particular family. But if you're an heir, you have a legal right to an inheritance. And since we're now members of God's family, we have a right to all that God has promised to His children. In Him, we find these things, and I want you to know that. We find forgiveness. We find justification. We find freedom. We find an abundant life. We find joy. We find inner peace. We find new power. We find new motivation. We find redemption. And that's just for this life. All the resources of heaven are now at our disposal. And because of our relationship with Christ, I hope I can encourage you today and challenge you today, because we're sons of God. And we have an unbelievable future waiting for us. Our inheritance is both now and to come. Think about it. But the best part is yet to come. We're sons of God, not just a lifetime, but for eternity. Can you imagine what that is? It's hard to comprehend that. One day God will usher us into an eternal dwelling place prepared for you and me. Just read John 14, 1 through 6. As I close today, as the ushers get ready to come up, my heart cries out when I read those seven verses in Galatians. Read them again. Meditate on them. Think about it. And you'll just well up with gratitude when you realize that you're a child of the King. And I guess I'm supposed to ask you today, are you grateful today for that? Are you grateful for that? If the ushers could come forward. We're going to pray. Later on today, read Psalm 51. It just came into my mind just going with these scriptures and stuff. Father, I thank You for our time today, Lord. Thank You so much for this worship. Father, I hope we have time to sing another song, Lord. Father, I ask You to bless our offering today and our worship today, Father, and everything we have for You today, Father. Father, thank You for putting us in touch with this roof company, Father. It seems like they've done such a good job today on that back building, Father. And we thank You for that, Lord. So we give You the glory and just ask You to bless those who give, Father, and bless us in a mighty way in this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. While we're taking the offering, today in your listening guide, I have a list of all the different missions and missionaries that we support here, but we're blessed to have two here today, so I'm going to ask them to come up, Mitch and Beth Combs, and they're going to come up here and share with us whatever they want to share to give us an update on how they're doing. Praise God. Thank you all. There's a mic there. I just have to turn that on. And praise God.
Hello? Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. It's great to be here with you guys this morning. I'm Mitch Kalmes. This is my wife, Beth. And we are missionaries in Tanzania in East Africa, right below Kenya. If you're thinking, where is Tanzania? On the eastern coast of Africa. We live in the city of Dar es Salaam, about 5 million people. We are so grateful for you guys for supporting us and our work there. It's a blessing to know that you guys are with us. And we just encourage you to pray for us as we do our ministry there. I want to share with you one verse, and then I'm going to give you, Beth's going to share just a minute too. And Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Paul is before Agrippa, and he says, he kind of gives King Agrippa his kind of testimony about his road to Damascus. And he said, this is why I'm here. He says, Christ sent me to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. A lot of contrast there. Darkness to light. Power of God to Satan. Judgment of sin to forgiveness of sin. To from being an orphan to being an adopted son with an inheritance. To go along with your message. I'd like to share with you, the real bridge here is the gospel, isn't it? How do you get from darkness to light? How do you get from power of Satan to power of God? How do you get to judgment of sin to forgiveness of sin? To get from an orphan to be an adopted son through the gospel, through Christ's death on the cross and resurrection. And I want to share with you, just two real quick examples. We heard about our ministry this morning, but I want to share with you how these ministries, how the gospel has touched the lives of two people. The first person you'll see on the board, on the screen is Mama Michael. And I'm going to let Beth give you her testimony, how she went from darkness to light.
First of all, in Tanzania, when you have a child, you no longer have your first name. So my name's Beth, but I have three girls, actually, but they chose to name me Mama Katie because I'm the mother of Katie. So Mama Michael, one of her children, is named Michael. So she's Mama Michael. So that's why we call her that. And you never get called by your first name again. So that's kind of interesting. But anyway, Mama Michael... we've known her for about 15 years now or so. When I first met her, she was a Muslim. She was living with the man who is now her husband and our assistant pastor at church. So that's all good now. But they were living together. And we started a feeding center, as we talked about in the community groups this morning. And we're feeding close to 100 children every day. And she would come in with another mother. And I would try so hard to be friendly and using my Swahili, greeting her, and because you're supposed to in Swahili. And she would never look at me in the eye. I'd be like, Mama Michael, how are you today? How are things? How's your home? And she'd just be like, they're fine, and just keep walking past me. She had no joy in her life. Her husband was very emotionally abusive, and he was a drunk, and a dock worker, and things were just pretty rough. Her non-husband at the time, but things were pretty rough in the home. And she just wasn't happy. But little by little, she kept coming, and we have a Wednesday, or at the time had a Wednesday Bible study for the mothers, mostly the mothers, because they're single mothers in the feeding program. And so she would come to that most often. And then she started working as a cleaner in our feeding center, but she still wouldn't look at me. And about 8 months after being there, she went into Mitch's office one day, and she said, I want to know Jesus. Which, for a Muslim to just want, we had seen no fruit in the first eight months of ministry. We work in a predominantly Swahili ghetto, a Muslim ghetto, also Swahili. And it was really hard. It was really hard. And here she just walked in and said, I want to get saved. I want to know Jesus. And so Mitch was able to share the gospel with her and ask her to pray. And he said, I want you to pray. And Mama Michael prayed and asked Jesus to come into her heart to save her of her sins. And through that, she wasn't the only one who came to know the Lord who was saved by him. Her husband, ultimately, that's another story. He got saved within a few short months. They got married. And they already had two boys, and then the Lord blessed them with a little girl who's now about 10 years old. It's a really neat story, but greater than that is what God has done to grow her in the last 15 years. From her salvation, she wouldn't do anything. She wouldn't do ministry. Today, she is our assistant pastor's wife, and she is leading our ladies' ministry. She just recently led another Muslim lady to Christ who was baptized in a Wednesday service we have so that Muslims don't have to be baptized on a Sunday morning because it's not always easy for them to come to church on a Sunday. Her sister, who was a Muslim and had AIDS, Mama Michael, last year in December, when was it? Around November, her sister was dying of AIDS. And she would go and take care of her and help her because these are very poor people. They can't afford, there's no hospice, they can't afford things like that. The family, if they care about their people dying of AIDS, they go and take care of them, and it's a lot of work. And so she would go and take care of her and cook for her while she was working for our feeding center full time as our head cook and so many things and being an assistant pastor's wife. But she would take care of her, and she kept giving her the gospel and giving her the gospel. And finally, Mitch and our assistant pastor went and talked to her, and she accepted Christ 2 weeks before she died. And she had so much joy in those last 2 weeks. And Mama Michael knows that her sister is going to be in heaven with her one day. She's an evangelist. She's led many more people to the Lord than what I just told you. But she shares the gospel of Jesus. And it's just a perfect example of the Lord taking a completely broken life of a person from a very difficult situation, living in a very impoverished area with a lot of hardships, how Christ comes in and he truly does make us free. Mama Michael, as you can see, and her husband, they have so much joy, and they are such a blessing to us personally and a blessing in the church over there. And one day, hopefully soon, within the next year or so, they will be the pastor and pastor's wife instead of us doing that anymore. And God will show us another thing to do in that regard. But anyway, her story is beautiful. I could talk about her for hours. But just in a nutshell, it's one thing that God has done, how the power of God changes lives for his glory.
Best and a fantastic job discipling her, by the way, and leading her up to be a really mature Christian and a leader of the women there. Second person is Freddie. Can we bring Freddie up? Now, Freddie on the left came to our feeding center. He's about 9 years old. The cooks found him out kind of chatting with the hoodlums in the area under a tree that did drugs, things like that. And you know, he was destined for trouble, and they grabbed him and said, "You come with us and eat in our feeding center." So he started coming to our feeding center. He's about 9 years old, 10 years old, something like that. And he started coming there, and we have a kids' Bible club every Thursday. And he started getting Bible lessons. He started coming to kind of a Sunday school thing. He started getting taught the scripture, started memorizing scripture. Ultimately, Freddie came to Christ. Freddie, his father won't have anything to do with him, basically. Freddie almost died one time. We went to his father for medical help. His father laughed at him and told him to go home. His mother was very young when she had him, and so he really has no mother or no mother or father. His mother has kind of a minimal relationship with him. So church is his family. He comes to church for community. He comes to church for family, for fellowship. His close friends are at church now, and he sees church as his family. Freddie has continued to grow and grow. And this little 9-year-old boy, he was very mischievous, always into trouble at church. You'd think he was a pastor's kid or something, or missionary's kid, you know, but he wasn't. And just this past April, Freddie graduated from our Bible Training Center for Pastors, where he sat under 500 hours of Bible teaching, basically like an associate's degree in Bible. And now Freddie stands before 500 youth at youth camp and teaches them. That is the power of the gospel. That is from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, from judgment of sin to forgiveness of sins. That is from an orphaned to an adopted son in Christ. We thank you guys for partnering with us and what we do there, and just pray for us. We always like to share these great stories, but there are a lot of hard times and troubles and trials for foreigners living in foreign countries. So if you guys would pray with us, we'd appreciate that. Thank you, Pastor Nick, for the opportunity to share. Yeah.